Hello, this is Caroline Ford in the UK. Last weekend, several members of my family and I went on a trip to Oxford, home of one of the world's most famous universities. While we were there, we went on a walking tour round some of the most interesting sites. I'd like you to accompany us on the tour, together with the rest of our group and our very vivacious guide, Debbie, who has some interesting things to tell us. I hope you'll enjoy it. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to contact me via the BCT mailing list.
All of you, my name's Debbie, I'm your tour guide. I've been a tour guide here for 11 years. I was born here, I'm still here.
You're only 11?
Long time.
Yeah, definitely. You're only 11.
However, my ancestors date back to the 13th century in Oxford, so you've got an old relic with you today. Now, we do
you've got
like
to fit
have
with a... you as well. You...
What's your name?
Harry.
Who's Mr. Dobbs?
This one.
Is he there?
Yeah.
Where?
Here.
Here.
You're... behind me, I think.
Is he there?
Yeah.
Who's ID?
To be here.
Oh, well, that's fine. I can handle them. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm very good with people. Has any of you come to Oxford before?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. Long time, how long ago?
Years ago.
Yeah, we haven't changed.
30 years is long.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything about it at all.
You'll have to come closer than that and squish up. My favourite English word, as you'll find out, is squish. You'll remember three things about me when you finish this tour. Debbie, my name, 39, not my age, and squish. Squish means everybody get together, which is good, because you know that. Do we have anybody apart from any other country here?
No.
We're all English.
Yes.
True,
yeah.
British,
yeah.
English.
English.
And I don't mind, yeah, of course. Okay, so if I make any jokes about any other parts of anybody from anywhere else in the world, it's okay, isn't it?
Fine.
Fine, isn't it? Fine.
Lincoln to Bond, Lincoln to Brennan.
Okay, good. That's what we like to hear. My husband never says, because he's very different to me, my husband. It was our 21st wedding anniversary last week. Get it right. Oh, you know. Which is not bad, is it, these days?
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, you were on our tour as well?
Yes.
Wonderful. Are we missing anybody else? Is there anybody else coming on our tour?
I think we're all, I think.
Are we all here?
Yes.
Now, you all have to look round to make sure you're all here.
I've got the wife.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Ooh, 21. Not bad. Okay, right, okay. We're going to make our way off down this way towards the main parts of the university. I'm going to explain everything you've ever wanted to know about Oxford and its university. You can ask me any questions. Watch out for bicycles. We have just under 18,000 students in Oxford. They all go around on bicycles and they don't have bells. They always aim for groups of this size.
Right.
Now, I do not want dead bodies today, so please keep an eye open, okay? We're lucky today because we have degree ceremonies going on, which means you'll see a lot of people walking around with gowns on. I'll explain all that as well.
It's a bit early.
All sorts going on today. I'll tell you, never know. You might bump into somebody filming. We just did. We're always filming. Right, so let's make our way down the path. Well, we're walking. Walk straight, just follow me.
Good idea.
Where's your brolly?
So, after this, you've got free time, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what time you have to be back to your country, honey?
Yeah.
Lock the bicycle, come around.
Thank you.
I should be in trouble if there's no Centennial now. Oh well. Now, these gentlemen behind me have been to their degree ceremony before they go to the next degree ceremony. Length of gown in Oxford is very important. You will wear these gowns over the time you're here as a student, not just for graduation. You have to wear them for dining in the evening. You wear them a lot over the time you're here. And that full academic dress is called subclass. It also includes the black cap and the taffeta and the side of the shorter ball.
What was the word?
Subclass. Length of gown is very important. So when you first arrive, you have to buy a gown. The first gown is about the length of my jacket. It's called a commoner's gown, and they wear that for the first 3 years as an undergraduate. You see a gown which goes just below the knee. They're all black, by the way, the gowns. That means they're here on scholarship, and scholarship is all paid for, including the gown. But they're still an undergraduate, but they definitely have an air about them when they walk down the road, I can tell you. The gown you're seeing well on at the moment means they're a graduate of Oxford University. Anything longer than that, down to the ankles, means they are really, really, really important. They are, no, very important. That means they're professors, lecturers, and fellows of Oxford University. The longer the gown, the more important the person. Mine goes right down to the ground.
Yes.
It hangs out the back, yes. Embroidered in gold, and has a little paper with a pebble on behind. Actually, there is one person who wears that gown, who's the Chancellor of Oxford University. His name is Chris Patton. And he's our Chancellor of Oxford University. It used to be Lord Roy Jenkins. I think what would be small, my husband would
like. It's only an honorary title, isn't it?
Don't do anything, do they?
Yeah, if you've got a red gown on, that means you're a member of qualification. And they're made up from all the different colleges, all the professors and lecturers that are invited to be there. And they've had to be here a long time. Guarantee their gowns will be down to their ankles before they're invited. And this is the helicopter. This is our police helicopter, which likes to hover around on Saturday. We do have the odd problem. If you go to the College Ball at Trinity College, they have one every 3 years. Last year they had a ball, £85 a ticket, and they sold 800 tickets. Work that one out. Anyway, let's make our way down to stand outside Trinity College where these blue gates are. In a little bit then, please. I'm very rude. Oh, and it's like being at school with me. The last lot realised I was very bossy. It's because I was the eldest of six. Miss Bossy Pants, they called me, and I still am. See, I told you, we've got police everywhere. But we did have the Queen here yesterday, and they were everywhere. We had police all over the place. We had the Queen yesterday. She came to open the old jail prison in Oxford, which has just been, and she went down to Rhodes House, which is one of the parts of the university, where they opened a special garden for her sister. So, oh, we get loads of them in Oxford. Now, we are in Broad Street. Broad's not just because it's wide in the middle and narrow at both ends. So when there was a stampede of cattle, they could block it off easily. Did you know that? Because you are standing in the cattle market. You are facing where the city wall originally surrounded it, and as you went through the Oxford story, when you were waiting to sit on your nice little chair, which took you around all through three floors of smells and everything, it's good, wasn't it? It's really bad on the back, isn't it? You know what's going on? You're going up. I've been on it a few times. There's a little section with a window where there's like a garden area where you're waiting for you go and sit. If there was the tower there was the original tower, which would have been part of the city wall. So you would be facing, which carried on the city wall all the way along in front of you and all the way down to the end here. There was nothing behind you much at all originally. This is around 13th, 12th century. Something's going on. You've got Trinity College behind you now, Balliol College next door, but originally just a couple of medieval monasteries. The cattle market, which was held here once a month, horses and oxes were sold here. And I have to tell you this, I know it's a bit boring, but Oxford got its name because of all the all around Oxfordshire, all the farming communities. Once a month, there was a cattle market held here. They would herd the cattle into Oxford, crossing one of the three rivers which surround Oxford, the River Isis, the River Thames, and the River Charwell. A shallow pass of the river is called a... Yes, I knew I had educated people on my tour. A ford. So as the oxes crossed over the ford, oxen, ford, Oxford. Wasn't that exciting? We could have been called Horseford. Would have been so much nicer. I'm much better horse at the top and some water underneath. Calford. Oh, Calford. Do you know that's the proper Oxford accent? You know, we've got all this big pomp and ceremony about Oxford. If you're from Oxford originally, like myself, a townie, as we refer to, and students are known as gownies, townies and gownies. Oxford accent originally is our farming communities, and I can tell you a lot of my family were from farming communities. But we did have a few bishops thrown in. I don't know where they came from, the bishops and all. That's how we went back. That's why my ancestors date back to the 12th century. And you are not just going round with anybody here. Do you realise that my ancestors are buried in the Cathedral of Oxford University in Oxford City? Eh? It all went downhill from there. I don't know what happened. Anyway. So, Oxford community, as I say, Oxford originally, though it was all farming community. The university would have started within the city wall. So every time, minute we cross over, and deciding which direction to go first. Well, we might go that way first. If we're going to make our way down this way, and then we're going to make our way into the old part of the city and the university, we spend most of our time there, which is the oldest part. So the minute we go that way, we're heading into. We have lots of Morris dancers around Oxford, and what with May Day. Oh, did you know about our big May Day celebrations in Oxford? May the 1st, at the top of Magdalen Tower, Magdalen, not Madeleine College. It's the pronunciation is medieval. That's why we say Magdalen, not Madeleine. There's a tower, and there's a school connected to this, the college. It's a boys' school. They're all 11 years old, and they have a choir. And at 6 o'clock in the morning on May the 1st, they climb the tower. It's one of the highest towers in Oxford. And they will sing from the top of the tower, beginning of spring, as they call it. It's to bring it all in, the beginning of spring, to celebrate it. And below, all the crowds, hundreds of people come into Oxford. All the streets are all cut off from traffic. We have Morris dancers. The pubs open at 6 o'clock in the morning. Everybody celebrates. They've had May balls the night before. Hunting, all sorts of things go on. It's a big celebration which happens every year, so we have get used to a lot of May dancers and Morris dancers walking around, and they do tend to be he's probably going off to go and meet some others for later. Anyway, we could stand here for ages, but we're not going to get very far. I can do everything from here. Let's make our way down towards the main part of the university, and from there onwards. And you can take photographs anywhere we go on these tours, by the way. Those are got faster than the others. Because I like those
two. She's a last one to have a bad voice. She's kept it up for 11 years.
When we did Cambridge, we had a lady from Cambridge, and she was special.
They know it all, that's right.
Hey, Rose, you want to go on?
Football
this is the Bodleian Library, I think.
When we cross the road on my tours, we go all together en masse. That way nobody gets run over, so anybody at the back, no trickling behind, because you'll get run over.
He said, told us backwards to slow down a bit.
Yeah, but it's crossing the road all together. Right, so when I say go, we go. Oh, did you all have a good breakfast this morning, by the way?
Yes.
You'll need it. On your marks!
You'll need it.
The reason why we've got helicopters and police around are animal rights demonstrators, which normally are over down by our science department, so we have new laboratories being built. So that's what's going on. They normally have massive animal rights demonstrations down here, but they're not due to be here today. I knew that. So let's go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So go.
Go, come.
You're lucky, aren't you? I'm impressed. Best one ever. You can come up here because it's not bumpy, and the rest of you come and stand on these cobbles here, please. Right, squish up. Come closer. Don't be shy.
Don't like shy people. I knew he was going to be shy.
Okay. Come on, come close. Now, these are hundreds of years old, these cobbles. All the streets used to be covered in them originally. When you have spare time later, our History of Science Museum behind me here, it's free, because I like to suggest things which are free for you. If you're mad on science, stars, what they used to operate on and with, Einstein's original chalkboards, it's all in here. It's absolutely amazing little museum. You see what time it's open to later, so come and have a look at it, it's really worth it. Got lots of museums in Oxford, they're all free and they're really worth a visit. So where you're standing or leaning against, this would have been the city wall because it would have carried on parallel down to where the Oxford story was originally. So these heads are actually boundary stones going into the city and the university. Now, does anybody recognise any of them? That's Uncle Harry, that's Uncle Bulgaria. Actually, nobody quite knows what they were, but they actually say they're Greek gods and Roman emperors. Personally, I think somebody decided to carve every beard and moustache they possibly could. There are 17 of them. The original ones, which these are not, the original ones were eaten away by pollution. The noses are dropped off, their ears, they looked a right mess. You wouldn't have recognised them. These were replaced around 39 years ago, but they were a right mess, the old ones, originally. Students don't help. They come in and they like to place things on top of their heads and tie things around their necks, and especially after college balls, early hours of the morning. College pranks, ex-Prime Minister of England, seen sitting on top of one of the heads, you know. I bet they got photographs somewhere, you know, at home. I came in one morning, everyone had a cigarette in their mouths one morning, so it was slightly different. So that was a bit different to the others. The days when you used to have potties, they used to put them on top of their heads and things like that. But they're rather wonderful. So we're going to make our way down the street here and bear to the right, which will take us then into the city, the old part of the city and the university. Back onto the roady bits, so the cobbly bits. They really hurt your feet, these cobbles.
What's going on in there?
that's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you still do at Cambridge.
I think you do for lectures. And I think if you've seen around the town without, you could wear the ground of town to distinguish yourself from the ordinary folk. I suppose you could have some of the home.
Sheldonian Theatre, and it's our ceremonial building, if you haven't worked it out by now. The gowns of which they're wearing, obviously, graduation gowns, the white fur collar means they have a BA, a Bachelor of Arts. If you see anybody with a red silk collar, that means they have an MA, Master of Arts.
Oh, wow.
The Sheldon, yeah, all of them. But I'm going to explain very quickly, because you could spend days walking around Oxford and wouldn't have a clue everything is. So I'm going to explain very quickly while we're standing here how Oxford University works. Because it's very complicated. You could spend, I mean, it does normally take me 5 hours, okay? 5 hours is how long it would normally take me to explain how Oxford University works really properly. I've got it down to 2 minutes. It's very basic, but it makes the tour easier. So that when I walk around and say to you, for instance, this is a university building, this is a college, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When I have finished explaining this, I'm going to look at you deeply in your eyes and say, do you understand? If you say yes, Debbie, he's been very quiet. I'm impressed. If you say yes, Debbie, at the end of it, I'll love you all forever. Okay? I'll love you forever, all of you. Right, here we go. We have 39 colleges in Oxford. Every single college is independent. They have their own governing body, their own head of college. They all make their own decisions. They employ everybody in their colleges, whether it's coaching staff, porters, gardeners, or tutors. The colleges themselves are all built exactly the same way in a quadrangle square. As time's gone on, they've built on more quads and more accommodation, building up the colleges as they are. Some colleges have 5 quads, some 3, some 2, they're all different sizes. And every college has a dining hall, a library and a chapel. There are common rooms where students can meet, a few offices, but it's basically where the students live. They all have their own rooms, they don't have to share, because all colleges now are mixed sex. Originally they were for men only, it was private, it was only those who could afford to come to Oxford University. 1974, ladies, when Oxford started to become mixed sex. We don't talk about the past that much. Today, all colleges are mixed sex, except for St Hilda's. They decide to stay a ladies' college. The colleges themselves you will not find inside lecture halls, examination halls or classrooms, or university buildings, administration or anything like that. This is where all our university buildings, which you, as you came into Oxford, passed hundreds of. They're scattered everywhere. We don't have one big area, which is called campus, as they do in America. In America, it's all in one area. Here, we are entwined. Oxford City and Oxford University are entwined together. 1 minute, you could be walking down the street, you walk past a college, a university building, a council office. They're mixed everywhere. How does it all work? You basically live in your college, and every time you go for a lecture exam, you come out of college and you make your way down to one of the university buildings. Because no college specialises. You can go to any college, study any subject, they're academically the same. Did I feel a splodge of rain then?
Yes.
How dare it rain on my parade? So basically, you live in your college and you go to all the university buildings around you. when all those students left today, they all left with exactly the same degree. It doesn't matter which college you lived at. If they all got a BA, it will say Oxford University at the top of their degree paper, it won't say from their college. So think of the colleges, 39 dormitories, and then all the university buildings, which are scattered everywhere, are where you do all your studying and all your lectures and so forth. So Oxford University is one big place, 39 colleges, hundreds of university buildings, seven religious halls, the whole lot is what we call the university. It's literally everywhere. Did that help?
Yes.
Did we understand that?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, Debbie.
Wonderful. I would also, can I start again? Oh, I've done it in my sleep. The gown. Now look at the gown. If you took the white collar off of that gown, it went down to the ground, and you tied it up in the middle with a long piece of cord, what would it look? What they look like?
Vicar.
Monks. I had the American group the other day. Try and guess what they told me. Oh, this is important. These are important. These are the proctors. These are the ones who held the ceremony and help. Yeah, they've been inside the whole time doing the ceremony. And look closer if you want to. And the gentleman right at the back with the red. Oh, there we are.
There
the red. He's the vice chancellor of Oxford University. If you've got cameras, take photos of us. Quick, you want to see again? You're right there.
There you are.
Let me move you back a bit. Are you on your break?
Can you? Oh, stand still because of people with cameras. Don't knock them.
Who is the Vice Chancellor?
Chris Patton.
Oh.
Had a vote, didn't they, not long ago? Several people volunteered.
What's the purple one? In front of the red one.
Bishop. So, your gown originated from a monk's gown, because all colleges and medieval monasteries and religious halls. And that's where your gown came from. Shalgonian Theatre, by the way, designed by Sir Christopher Wren in 1669. That was his first building he ever designed as an architect. He then obviously decided to design. M.A., Master of Arts, is the red silk collar.
We're coming up.
Who said it could be? Norway.
The gowns will be getting wet.
Yes, it's finished.
And as I said, the longer the gown, the more important the person.
Might just be a short person.
He's a bit short. Okay, let's make our way over here. Who's got? Oh, there you are.
Thank you.
Sorry, we looked at a few things. By the way, while you're standing here, come and squish here. Yes, come and squish up. Come on. See, this is where you see all the ladies in all their dresses. Look, all their summer gown dresses and things. Do you know that whole ceremony was in Latin? Did I say that?
Yeah.
Thank you. I always repeat this after. Halfway through the degree ceremony, they all came out of that theatre, the students, and they changed their gown because at the back of the Shaldonian Theatre, as it's designed as an amphitheatre, the door is at the back. They cross over the courtyard into a building and they change either the length of their gown or the colour of the collar. Different colour collars for different subjects. So that's what it's all about. And they would have, some of these students would have come back after 6 months, 2 years, 3 years later to pick their degrees up. They don't pick them up immediately, by the way. So very important university building, the Shaldonian Theatre. But if you all turn round for a moment and face me, does anybody recognise the bridge?
Yeah.
See, that's why I like taking it. Looks like the British Size in Venice.
Size.
It was nicknamed the British Size in Oxford.
Have one in Cambridge.
I know that
as well. Yeah.
Water going over. The other place. Not Oxford. I've been told I swear if I use that word here.
Well, not Cambridge, you said.
The bridge, by the way, was built in 1913. In fact, to connect two parts of the college together, known as Hartford College. On the right-hand side, built the part of its park entrance. Then in the 18th century, it's got the other section on the other side here. So in 1913, the head of the college, Professor Boyd, said, I'm having a bridge built. Because I'm better than walking on windows from this side to this side. broke it. The bridge is so professors and lecturers can walk over it, and I'm having a tunnel put underneath, so lower class can walk over that. And it's quite bad, I'm not joking. Anyway, let's go this way down towards the main part of the centre of the university. You can walk along the path.
So if you apply to go to Oxford, do you apply to one particular college or just to the university?
Yes. Yeah, if you apply to a college.
So what difference does it make if you can do any subject at any college?
I've no idea really, but I suppose it doesn't matter because you all go to the university lectures rather than to your college lectures.
Yeah.
In the quad of the bod. Because if you're a student, you shorten everything. Quadrangle of the Bodleian Library. Anybody heard of the Bodleian Library?
Yes.
An amazing place. Do you know where you're standing now? This was the first part to be built. In fact, just behind me here, this one could be a building. Just above the door is a wonderful big window. That window houses one of the oldest libraries, and the library and all the books came from the different colleges, worth an absolute, well, they're priceless. They're locked and chained even today. It's called the Duke Humphreys Library. From there, our university library, which is one of the largest in the world today, our university library, and by the way, only students with special cards and passes are allowed onto these reading rooms around us, was built around in a quad on one floor. It has all the original subjects above the doors in Latin of which section you would have gone into study originally. Then the next two floors were built up, that's why you have the difference in the stone. And then you have this wonderful tower which was built, which is just behind you. Look at it, isn't it incredible? You need to turn round. She's got to turn round, she can't possibly sit that way.
Yes, thank
you. Squish round. Now, do you notice that the pillars are all thick at the bottom and they gradually go thinner, so you can't help but raise your eyes up? And it's called the Tower of the Five Orders because it depicts the five stages of architecture in its pillars. Anybody into architecture apart from how nice it looks?
No.
No? Yes. Yeah. Go on then, go for it. From the bottom we have Romanesque, Ionic. Ionic, Doric. Corinthian, Doric, and Romanesque. Composite, Romanesque. Oh, wait a minute. Now you put me off now. I had them in line originally. I've forgotten. My brain's gone completely now. In the middle, by the way, are three figures. King James I is handing the Bible to two figures. Now, I know you're an intelligent group, like the last lot, so you do know what an angel looks like, don't you? Well, that angel up there is the Archangel Gabriel. Person on the other side, bending down, receiving the Bible, is our patron saint of Oxford, St. Fridswives, our Saxon princess, the lady who founded Oxford, started Oxford back in 727, 800s. St. Fridswives, a lady. Sorry, that's a bad dig. Now, where you're standing now, if you stand where you're looking, if you look through that door there, and then turn round and look behind you and through these gates, right down to the very end, through the other gates on the other side, there's another door as well. In fact, you can see five lots of buildings connecting together through these gates. And as a lady told me last week, she was standing here, and I do meet people on these tours, she stood here and she said, Debbie, do you know this is very feng shui? And I said, what do you mean feng shui? I said, don't you mean feng shui, madam? She said, no, it's feng shui. She says it flows beautifully. She said it flows through all these gates together. And I said, nice. And off I went. And I suppose it does really. But there are five buildings. Now, the Bodleian Library is an incredible library. Oxford University has the most incredible library. This library, since 1602, when Sir Thomas Bodley, the founder of the library, the Chancellor of Oxford University, he was the one who went to London
and made an agreement with the printing companies, which still stands today, that every time a book is published in this country, this library gets the first copy to every single book published in this country, even today. The only books they don't have are pornographic. But they do have every single book. It doesn't matter if it's Harry Potter, Mills and Boons, Inspector Morse, the Beano, the Dandy, Beckham the football player, doesn't matter which book it is, this library has the first copy to every single book published in this country. If any of you have written a book and it was published in this country, and I've taken loads of people around who have, their first copy will be in this library. Just under 8 million books in this library and still growing. Under the ground, through these five buildings, are hundreds of tunnels. They're all stacks, as they're called. They're stacks of the Bodleian Library. They keep all the books, the manuscripts and everything below the ground. And if you're in a reading room from down there and you want a book from down there, do you have to get up and get it? No, this is Oxford University. What you do is you go to the nearest computer, because they have them, you know. I always go on, because we all see all the old bits. Nobody realises it's quite modern here as well. They have go to the nearest computer. They log into on the computer to which book they want. It will go to, as a request to a member of staff under the ground who sat there for years. I've still got this vision of this man who sat there for years. And every now and then he says, oh, I think I've seen that book. And he goes off into one of the tunnels and returns a week later with his book. Found it. And then he puts it on the conveyor belt, which connects them all together, and it makes its way down to you. Can you imagine waiting for a whole week for your book? Anyway, that's how it works. So these are all reading rooms. It's an amazing library, it really is. You'll see lots of figures everywhere, like TB for Thomas Bodley. Gargoyles literally do gargle water. They have their mouths open. They're part of a drainage system. The others are known as grotesques. They're parts of somebody's name or caricatures of somebody who helped build that building will have a connection. You do get new ones in colleges. Heads of colleges these days, it seems to be the in thing to have your head turned into a gargle or grotesque and placed inside your college. And I've seen them with bald heads and glasses and everything. So they do have new ones as well. Anyway, we're going to make our way back out this way because it's the only way we can go with a wheelchair, which is nice. Then we turn right and take ourselves into the centre and the heart of the university.
Doesn't the British Library have a copy of every book as well? Yeah. Maybe they get the second copy. Crosswords thing. That was, what was his name? He was the editor of the Oxford University Press, wasn't he? Chapel.
No, something to do with the dictionary.
Oh, the dictionary, that was it.
Yeah. Oxford English Dictionary. Yes. One of the editors as well.
You're
one.
Right back there!
Oxford Originals.
They are, the sharp.
Yeah.
Come and squish up, everybody. You're right over there. There's a path along here for the wheelchair.
Yep, that's correct.
Nope. At Oxford University. Not even with me. You have to have a special card or pass to go in there, all of you. And you have to be a member of Oxford University. Oxford University Park. Are you really? Which college? Which college? You're right there.
Oh,
would I? Hey, it would be brilliant. Right. Anybody reckon?
These motorised scooters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My son, who's 13 at the time when he was 9, said, Mum, why don't you take everybody around on rollerblades? Yes, darling, I said. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Can you imagine on these people? Yeah, it was a good idea at the time. He's now 13 and the other one's 16, but anyway. Now, we're set in the centre and the heart of the university. These cobbles have just been relaid. But I tell you, we've had everybody walk on these cobbles. We've had the Harry Potter clan, because Harry Potter's filmed everywhere around Oxford. In the library, by the way, parts of the library, you know the old one, the first one, the Duke Humphreys Library? If you saw that, which you can't unless you've got a special card to go and see anyway,
typical. That is the library for Hogwarts and Harry Potter. The building underneath is the hospital for Harry Potter. They filmed parts here. And then they went to Christchurch College and did the dining hall and stairs going. They went to another building and filmed another part there. And then they went off to Salisbury and they went and did parts there. And they went everywhere. Put it all together and everybody thinks it's one big place.
Yes.
Closer. And I still get the Japanese coming in and saying, you show me where Harry Potter filmed.
No.
And they say that there's this big piece of, where the piece of grass where they filmed, they flew over. So I think that's
they take a photograph
studios,
of it.
Yeah. in the studio. But everybody thinks it's one place. It's the same with Inspector Morse.
Yeah.
The amount of times I saw Inspector Morse being filmed, I had photographs. In fact, I've got a brilliant photograph of Colin Dexter and myself by the Red Jag underneath the old... John Fall underneath the British eyes. And he was lovely, they were lovely. And the amount of film we used to have going around here. But they always film in loads of places, put it all together and you'll think it's one place.
Yeah.
And how they ever managed to get from one side of Oxford to the other in the same flick. I mean, did you see in Inspector Lewis, the last one, the new
yes.
one?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going to make another five of those.
Cool.
Oh, and I was in it. There was one little scene opposite Trinity College. It took 2 seconds if I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, and before I blinked, it had gone. I thought, typical. It took me half an hour to do that.
So also, when we watched that, we were saying, where's Debbie?
But when they filmed that, in the parts of it at the beginning, they went past this building, the Radcliffe camera. Yes, the Radcliffe camera, past All Souls College, which is the one over there. They then went, carried on, which you can't do because it's a dead end, more or less. There's no way you can get through. No cars can, anyway. You have to walk through. And then they film one place somewhere else. It's brilliant. I love it. Unless you're a tour guide, you haven't got a clue. But you all sit there, that's not that college, that's the other college, and that's that college, and that's that college. And that college over there, on the other side of the square here, Brasenose College. It's called Brasenose College because it's got a big brass nose knocker on the front door.
That's
every time you saw him going into a college, it was always that one, because they always used the porter's lodge there for Inspector Morse, and then they got off and filmed somewhere else. They filmed everywhere. So this land round here is your main filming place. Anybody famous has walked across these cobbles. And when they relayed them recently, and all the old ones got thrown away, new ones
people
were put down, I went and said to the people who were doing their, you know, they're all standing there with their, I can't help it, they're standing there with their boards and having a meeting. I said, I'm not happy that all the old cobbles, which are hundreds of years old, and all the famous people of Oxford have walked across them, and you're throwing them in a pile and putting new ones down. Oh, we're so sorry, madam. I said, I should sell them on eBay. I'd probably get a lot of money for them. But I didn't get permission, unfortunately. Never mind, although I probably would. Anyway, the building in front of you here is actually a reading room to the Bodleian Library. It's called the Radcliffe Camera. Camera in Latin means chamber. And Radcliffe was the man who gave the money, Dr. John Radcliffe, as in the Radcliffe Infirmary, the John Radcliffe 1, the John Radcliffe 2. When he died, he left £40,000 in his will, £20,000 in the 18th century, built you a reading room, which he wanted to house for his medical books. It's amazing what you could get for £20,000 in those days. But lucky to get a garage in my house these days for £20,000 or over. I live in one of those little Cotswold villages, just that's on Oxford. It's very nice. But the building is a reading room to the Bodleian Library. It's wonderful. And under the ground, those tunnels go right down to the end of the square where they keep all the books and the manuscripts. In fact, the humidity area is just under the grass here. But we're surrounded by colleges, Hertford College, All Souls College, Brasenose College, and the corner of Exeter College, which reminds me, people always ask me how you choose a college in Oxford when you come as a student. Today, it doesn't really matter which college, but originally, when it was private, if you were at Exeter College, Exeter City in England, a private school, you automatically would have gone to Exeter College. If you're in Lincolnshire, you've gone to Lincoln College. Hertfordshire, Hertford College, and they all had connections. So that's how you would have chose a college originally. So that's how it would be. Now, if we make our way down to the corner here, by the way, everywhere you're now walking, you are actually being filmed everywhere you go. There are cameras everywhere. That's a camera up there, it's not a light. So don't do anything you don't want to be seen doing.
Big Brother is watching.
Can you see through the reading room, students sitting there? Wonderful. Big, massive, great big tables sitting there for nice and warm and dry. At the bottom of the square is our university church. Now, how energetic are we feeling?
127 steps to the top, eh? No. No, don't worry. If you are feeling energetic, you can do it. It's one of the highest towers in Oxford. You can see for miles and walk all the way around the top. I would wait until you've had lunch and it stopped raining. But it's a wonderful church to wander around if you want to later as well. And the Chancellor's chair, all beautifully carved in there, which he will sit and preside over special ceremonies held in the university, also in there. Some of the first degree ceremonies and debates were held in there before any other university buildings were built. Parts of that church date back to 800 Saxon, so it's one of the first ever churches in Oxford. We're going to make our way down Brasenose Lane, which is this lane here, named Brasenose Lane because of the college. But as we make our way down the lane, all along on the right-hand side is Exeter College. Halfway down on the left, between Exeter College, on the left-hand side is a wooden door. From that wooden door forward, it becomes Lincoln College. So you've got Brasenose College and Lincoln College back to back. So let's wander on down.
Lincoln College. So we ought to be able to, we should be accepted there.
Yes.
Even these Brasenose 300.
Where did you have to live to go to Brasenose College?
Somebody with his gown on, running.
How's my wheelchair? Where's she gone? She alright?
So many dinners a year. Sign in to the dining room, college dining room. Mm. I think Daddy is
cooking garlic bread.
Shower. Market, follow me, slowly. You will have time to look at everything later. I have to show you this cake. This is our new cake shop.
Celebration.
Look at this chocolate wedding cake, ladies. Isn't it amazing? This is our new cake shop. It's just opened, but the chocolate cake, have a look at it as you go by.
Yes, I do.
Oh, can you smell that? Come squish up closer. Hey, they don't make these anymore, do they?
No.
Come down closer. You can go right behind the bicycle.
Place for the basket.
Let's make sure people can walk by there, so squish right in. Now, the undercovered market dates back to 1774. It's one of the first undercover markets in England. Delia Smith loves it. If you look in your Christmas book, you'll see that letterbox. And all this section here. The covered market has four avenues. There's one going that way, one there, one that way, and one that way. If you walk that way, you'll come to the high street, where you'll find lots of other shops and so forth. If you go that way, you'll go back out to where we more or less started. Everything is in squares in Oxford, because the colleges were in blocks. So if you, as somebody said to me, it's like in America, if you walk in a block, you're back to where you started. You can't get lost very easily. Is anybody? Oh, did anybody have any of these Oxford Story leaflets?
Yes.
Yeah, because they've got a map on, so you know where everything is. For those who didn't have one, there's a couple here, because I am going to end up, after you finish this tour, you have free time. So I'm actually going to finish off the tour in here, because it's brilliant for lunch, toilets are just down there, you don't get wet, you're right where we more or less started. You know where we walked down through the alleyway, and then we walked straight across the road into here? If you turned right, you went straight back down to where Trinity College is, where we started the tour. So you're literally just down the road from where we started. Anybody else want one?
I think I've got one just in case. I'm good with maps.
So I'm going to leave you in here because it's pouring with rain. Oh, pasties. Wonderful pasty shop for lunch. But if you want a really good place, you want to sit down and have lunch, go to one of our pubs. The pubs in Oxford are brilliant. If you want to walk back with me back down to where we started, you know when we walk right down to the end of the road, where the Sheldoni Theatre, where we first started, did you see a pub called the King's Arms on the corner there? The students call it the KA. It's one of our Gowney pubs. Now that pub serves some of the best beer, and it's really good food if you want a really good pub. There's another one just around the corner, under the Bridge of Sighs, to the left, called I've been going to it for years, the Turf. And they have wonderful beers, it's all homemade food, and they're brilliant pubs as well, and they're really oldie-woldie pubs. So that's another idea for your lunch as well. Now, do you know what time you're all supposed to be back on your minibus?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, good. So does everybody know where they are?
Yeah.
And if you don't, come and talk to me, not a man.
Oxford.
We're in Oxford, yeah. So I'm going to, if you've got any questions, come and see me. Other than that, I'm going to say, disperse and go forth, don't multiply, okay? Pasties in here are brilliant if you just want a pasty to walk around, but it's great for shopping around here as well. So thank you very much for coming with me. You've been a lovely group. I'm sorry it started raining. I ordered sunshine, I just don't know what happened. So thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your time in Oxford and have a good wander around. It's got a few hours. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.